Thank you. Thank you. Go ahead, big shoot. I appreciate it. Big shoot. Yeah.
Amen.
Yep, preach. Come on now.
Amen.
Yeah, I got it. All right, thank you.
Preach.
I appreciate
preach
that so much. Thank you.
Preach.
And to get to be here with you today, what a treat, what an honor. To be here on this 25th anniversary of your church and your pastor. I feel honored, really do, to be here with you. And man, you know, it's a big honor for them, but it's a big honor for me, Brother Gray, to be here for this. And boy, I'll tell you, you know, I don't know where all this come from, but somebody said that the stay of an average of a Baptist preacher a day is 1 to 3 years. 1 to 3 years, that's average now. And man, to think of 25 years in one church, 25 years, quarter of a century that he stood here. You know, God told Paul, said, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. You know, it's easy, preacher, when it's in season.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, that off season's tough.
Yeah.
That off season, that out of season stuff. Out of season's when sound doctrine ain't popular.
Right.
Out of season's when the shiny wears off.
Yeah.
You've been somewhere 25 years. You know, I love that new car you got. But you know what I tell you, brother? When one, you still like it after 10, 15, 20 years in the same car, well, you ought to try that in the church.
Amen.
You've been somewhere, listen, when crowds heard your jokes, heard your sermons, heard everything, but you're still hanging there and you just keep going. The shiny wears off, you know. And then when the suffering comes, that's out of season. See, I've been in that in and out. I've been in the both. In season, out season. You know, football season, I like football. It'll fire up for long. But then it won't last long to be out of season. Something else will come on. But Paul said, you know what, about this thing about serving God? He said, you preach in season and you preach out of season.
Right.
You know, and your preachers prove that. He's done. You don't stay somewhere 25 years and it's all in season. Brother, there's a bunch of out of season.
Right.
And I appreciate and I respect. I don't know any preacher I respect anymore than I do Dr. George Bell, his wife, what you've done here. And Brother Gray said it a while ago, and I say it all the time. I said it in my own church. The best music in the country, I mean bar none, absolutely, listen, hands down, the best singing and music in the country is in this church. I don't know how you do it. I really don't. I don't see how you do it. God just blessed you. He really has. He give you great musicians, great singers. It's just unbelievable. I ain't never been here. Never been here when it didn't just absolutely phenomenal every time. Then to be here with your pastor and you people and celebrate this week. And then hear Brother Gray preach. Boy, wasn't that great. Hey, let me say this, and I'm going to preach. Preach what time I need to be done. I know I don't need to be up here too long, but goodness. Hey, I'd be like Jesus said, will you also go away by the time all left?
Yeah.
You know, but what I was going to say, you know what has hurt us, Brother Gray, really, I really believe this, and I don't know how we got tangled up in all this. You know, one thing we done somewhere back there a few years ago, preacher, we got infatuated with something. I don't know what you call it. Just trying to be slick. You know what I'm trying to say? I mean, everything had to be color, from black and white, see? I ain't against all that. But I tell you, here's what hurt us. Is we're trying to find ways to get crowds in and didn't do what he said a while ago.
Right.
I'm going to tell y'all something. You're not going to improve on God's plan.
Right. Right.
And brother, it's still to win sinners.
Right.
You know, I thought about a while ago when he was preaching that we moved into a house. I'm going to preach here in a minute.
Okay.
We moved into a house 10 years ago. And I was traveling like I am now, just going day and night. And then Thursdays I'd get in and go soul winning. And we just moved in this house, and it was in a development there. And one day I was there praying, and it dawned on me that I hadn't been to the people right around me. And it wasn't because I didn't want, it was just I was so busy, just running in and out. And I went to doors, Brother Gray, and knocked on doors in my neighborhood, and would knock on doors. And when he come to the door, I'd say, "My name's Darrell Cox." I said, "I'm your neighbor right down the street here. And I come to apologize to you." That's how I did it. They'd say, "Apologize for what?" I'd say, "Because I've lived here for 8 months, and I haven't even been here to find out if you'll say." And I went door to door throughout my neighborhood trying to win different ones to Christ. He's absolutely right. I thank God. And I want to be a better soul winner, but I thank God. Amen. After all these years, Brother Bill, I still stay after it. Just this week, he's talking about stories. Let me tell you this little story that I'll preach. I was at the Forsyth Hospital, and the hospital's a good place when people milling around. There are always a bunch of people. And here sat a man in a wheelchair outside, and he was sitting out there smoking a cigarette. You know, they got to go out now. And this guy sitting there, one leg, and the other leg looked like they was going to take it off. They'd marked it, and you could see the infection and all that. And I walked over to him, and I said, "Sir," and I had a track. I said, "My name's Darrell Cox, and I want to give you the gospel track." And he said, "No, I don't want nothing to do with the gospel." He said, "Get out of my face. Don't want anything to do with it." And I said, "All right. Okay." I said, "Well, have a good day." And I turned, Brother Bill, and I walked right on out the road just a little piece, and over there's where the town buses brings people that don't have any transportation to the hospitals. Old town bus, you know. And here stood a black lady standing over there. And I walked by her, and boy, it was one of them days it was just blistering hot. And I looked at her, I said, "Ma'am, it's getting hot out here, ain't it?" She said, "Well, it ain't too bad." She said, "I just moved here from Houston, Texas." She said, "It's a whole lot hotter there." She said, you don't know what hot is. You've been to Houston." I said, "I've been to Houston." Yeah, I've been to Houston." I said, "I'll tell you somewhere hotter than Houston." Yeah. She said, "Where? I'd like to know where." I went over to her. I said, "Hell's hotter than Houston." She said, "You got that right."
Yeah.
I pulled a track out and started talking to that little old gal about Jesus. And just in a few minutes, Brother Bailey's tears running down her face, on both sides of her face. She said, "That's what I need." She said, "Pray for me, Reverend, and pray with me." And she reached out and got me by the hand. And I bowed my head and I was praying. And I wondered what they thought when people drove by and see me standing there holding a woman's hand with my head bowed, leading her to Christ. But you know what? I thought, I don't care. Anybody got any sense, bless God, they can see what I'm doing. And if they know me, they know what I'm doing. Leading her to Jesus. But you know what? Like he said a while ago, get your own war story.
Yeah, that's right.
Get your own stories.
Right.
And let me tell you this. I'm going to preach. Brother Gray's right. We're not being persecuted. I seen a video the other day of a man. I took him on because I knew a preacher that he's on a mission board, Prayer Baptist Missions, and he said he's one of our missionaries. Said he's a church planter up in New England. Said he started a church in Salem, Massachusetts. That's the witch capital of the United States. Preacher, he was preaching on the streets. Now, he wasn't up there preaching against witches and warlocks and all that. He was standing on a street corner preaching the gospel. Now, he was just preaching the gospel. And he was just preaching. Standing there with his Bible, and he was just preaching the gospel. And brother, right out of nowhere, come a man walked up. And he was this close to that man's face. And he had horns implanted under his scalp. And he had metal on his teeth. And he got right in that preacher's face and started hissing like a snake. And then he backed up and started saying things. And then he come at him growling like an animal. And that old boy just kept saying, "Sir, Jesus loves you." And he just said, "God loves you and wants to save you." Preacher, I tell you, I don't know if I could take it or not, but old Steve Brock got a speech impediment standing up there, the preaching Jesus. Boy, I tell you something, and that man that was dressed up like a devil run right up in old Steve's face and just spit right in his face. And old Steve, and you know what he did? He didn't move him, but he kept right on preaching. And then here come another one, and he spit in his face. And I said, God, forgive me. Or maybe, you know, somebody talks to you a little bit rough, says something that I don't want it. I said, man, I ain't been persecuted, just like he said a while ago. Old Steve just kept preaching. He just kept right on telling them about Jesus. He said, God loves all of you, and I love you, and I'm out here to tell you about Jesus. And I'll tell you what I did. I got his address. I said, bless God, I'm going to send him a check. I said, anybody like that, I don't have to check them out. A man like that, if he'll stand and preach to people like that, and you can cuss him, spit on him, hit him, and everything else, and he keeps on preaching, that reminds me of Paul. I said, I know I could send him a few dollars a month, and it won't hurt us. Amen?
Yes.
Well, take your Bible, turn to the book of Acts, chapter 14. Boy, Brother Gray, that was so good. Boy, don't forget, all this other stuff's good, but let me tell you, don't get away from the main thing.
Yes.
You know what built this church? You know what built this church right here? Exactly what Brother Gray preached. That's why you got a crowd here. That's why you got a crowd. That's why this church is booming. And if we ever quit winning souls, we're done.
Amen.
I just bought 20 some pews, beautiful cherry pews with white trim, but the cherry wood, and they're immaculate. They ain't a scratch. I mean, they look like they just got them in a pew factory. I tell you what, we got them. A Southern Baptist Church in Winston-Salem sold the building, sold all their stuff out of it. We bought for $1,800. I bought two of these monitors, 21 pews. Eight cordless mics, eight of these cordless microphones, two pianos. Bought every bit of it for $1,800 already.
Wow.
And these pews come out of the balcony of that church. My son and another man went over there to get them. They had to, take them out of the floor. They come out of the balcony. See, Steve said, Daddy, it's dust that deep down the balcony. And he said he talked to the pastor, and he said, I looked on the board. He said, the auditorium would seat 1,000. He said, the Sunday before, they had 50. Now, you imagine being 50 people in a 1,000-seat auditorium. He said, sir, he said, what about this church? He said, evidently, at one time, this thing was, oh, he said, at one time, it was running 1,500. Back in the 50s, 60s. But he said, they got away from visitation, he called. He said, he got away from going after people, and he said, it just began to dwindle. And he said, and all these years later, here's where we are. And he said, we bought a little piece of property, and we're going out here and build a little old building. He said, seat about 125. It's all we need. And Steve said, man, I looked around that thing. He said, Daddy, it's what we need. He said, if we could took a chain and pulled it over there to Moxville, big old balcony in there. Boy, I said, God, don't let that happen to us.
Amen.
Lord, don't let that happen. And if you'll keep doing what he said, well, if you'll keep preaching, it won't happen. But I love you, and I want to be a help. I love your preacher. I want to help so much. I get nervous because I want to help you. And I realize the bigness of this thing. And I realize the lateness of the hour. Oh, it's later than you think it is. You know, he said a while ago, we're not persecuted, and he's absolutely right. Listen, we're not persecuted, but I'm going to tell you something, preacher. I really believe if America don't wake up, that this nation will be run by Islam within 10 years if something don't take place. Because we're so relaxed. And if God would judge his own people in Bible days, don't you think God won't let America get judged? And it's looks tough to me unless we have revival and God does something for us. Well, look at Acts 14. I'm going to give you a thought or two out of here. And the Acts 14 verse 19. Brother Gray alluded to this verse a while ago here. If you would just stand with me while I just read these few verses. And the sermon's not long. And maybe it'll just encourage you a little bit. The Bible said, and there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city, And the next day departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll use me. Lord, we've already heard a great sermon and Lord, the great music. Now, Lord, I know me, and God, I pray, I beg you, Lord, to put your power upon me for a little bit here, Lord, to be a blessing. So much has went into this, and this dear man, his precious wife, and these dear people, 25 years together. What a relationship, what a church. And I'm just so honored to be here. Now, Lord, help me to help it push a little further, and help me to be a blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I want to preach to you on this thought of you can get back up.
Yes.
You know, I was a boxer back in the 70s. I was a boxer. And I used to box. And I had a professional boxer named Bobby Klein. Bobby's got dementia now. And Brother Bobby was a pro. He was a West Virginia middleweight champion, professional fighter. One of the finest men I ever met in my life. Good Christian man. And I used to spar with old Brother Bobby. And I'll never forget when you'd hit him with a real good punch. And you know, I didn't really know how to spar. I'd turn him loose on him, you know. He was a pro. I thought, man, a pro can take it if you really hit him, you know. And I just hit him. And if you hit him real hard and one hurt, he'd shake his head and say, boy, that was beautiful. I remember that about old Brother Bob. He said, that was beautiful. That meant it hurt. And but I would box with Brother Bobby every day. We'd box every afternoon, every evening. Just about we'd box in the gym and sometimes boxing with others. And he told me something, Brother Bell, one day that I've never forgot it. He said, Brother Darrell, he said, if you ever get knocked down, don't jump right up. He said, if you get knocked down, he said, get up on one knee and let them count to about six, and then stand up. Now listen to what he said. Let it count to six, and then stand up. He said, you'd be surprised in 6 seconds how much your head can clear up. He said, if you jump right up, he said, the referee will brush your gloves off and say, fight. And he said, and you're still woozy, and you're not really able to defend yourself. He said, stay down for about 6 to 7 seconds. He said, you got 10 seconds. 6 or 7 seconds, he said, your head can clear up. Well, let me tell you something. Paul here, I don't know how long he was down, but I believe this. They said he's supposed to be dead. I think he's dead. And I'll tell you why I think he's dead. You remember over there where Paul said, I knew a man above 14 years ago. He said, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. Remember that? Hey, I'll tell you what. But he said this. That he said, I was caught up to the third heaven. That's the one me and you're going to.
Amen.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's the one we're going to. And Paul said he was caught up there and he's seen and heard things not lawful to even talk about. And you know what the deal was? Here it is, preacher. Paul died by the stoning and he went up to heaven and God said, Paul, I'm not done with you. Listen, buddy, round two's coming up. Get on back down there. A lot of preaching to do. A lot of souls to get saved. A lot of work to be done. He said, get on back down there. And so Paul then wakes up. And you know, the disciples here at Lystra, when he was stoned, all them guys that loved him, they're all standing around, all them converts of his and all them other disciples, they're standing around, old Barnabas and all them standing around, and he's laying there, blood just running off of him. And Barnabas said, this is it, he's done. I mean, look at his head. And you know, they say, and I'm not a Bible scholar, but they said Paul might have had eye problems from some type of a disease. Let me tell you where it come from. Brother, if he had some eye problem, right, here's where it come from. Yeah. You know where they're throwing them rocks to try to kill you? They're not throwing at your foot.
Yeah. Right.
They're not throwing at your kneecap.
Yeah.
They're throwing for your head.
Yeah.
They're trying to cut his head off with them rocks. And I personally believe this, that he got such trauma to the head that when he took that awful beating, that maybe after that, I'm not sure about it, and it could have been an eye disease, but I've always thought that the stoning that he received at Lystra is what left Paul pretty near blind. And now here's that great man of God, and he's laying on the ground, preacher laying there, blood running in the road and blood running all over, and his face just swollen and beaten, and he's laying there. And then all of a sudden, look right here what it says. Supposed him to have been dead, verse 19. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, look at this, he rose up.
Yeah.
You know what he did? He got back up.
Yeah.
He got back up. Boy, I like that, don't you? Yeah. He got back up. Now, folks, let me tell you something. In life, you're going to get knocked down.
Yeah, that's right.
You're going to get knocked down. It ain't a matter of if, it's a matter of it's going to happen.
Yeah, right.
You're going to get knocked down. Let me tell you the cause of getting knocked down. First of all, let me say there's a cause. Sin will knock you down.
Yeah, right.
Sin will knock you down. I never seen anybody that played with sin or messed with sin. Sin didn't knock them down. I'm just telling you right now, it'll knock you down. Anybody that plays with it, it's going to get you. Somebody showed me on a telephone the other day, some way they pulled up this thing that had a big number of people got on this meth. You know, this drug, dope, meth. I don't know anything about it, but I just know it's bad. But it showed these people. And Brother Gray, it'd show this beautiful girl here. And then it would show her 9 months after she'd been taking this meth. Didn't look like the same person.
Yeah, right.
I said, that ain't the same person. And the guy showed it to me and said, oh, yeah, it is.
Right. Yeah.
Same person. He said, it's 9 months of meth. Showed this clean-cut looking guy, sharp-looking fella. And then after about 9 or 10 months of that stuff, well, it didn't even look like the same man. And I said, why would anybody take it? You know what it did? It knocked them down.
Yeah.
Sin never takes you up.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? When old Samson got into sin, the Bible said, and he went down to Timnath. And he went down to the vineyard.
Yeah.
He went down to Delilah. See, he was going down. And brother, it just keeps taking you down.
Yeah.
Sin will knock you down.
Yeah.
Hey, it knocked David down.
Yeah.
It knocks Samson down. It knocks Saul down. And anybody, and sin, if you mess with sin, I'm telling you right now, you can't flirt with it, you can't play with it, it'll take you down. That's all I can tell you. It'll take you down. Then let me say this right here. Suffering will take you down.
Yeah.
It'll take a toll on you. Suffering will take you down. Suffering will take you down. You know, Job suffered, didn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, man. If anybody ever suffered, that man suffered. I mean, what suffering? Death of buried 10 kids, 10 children, buried all his children. Oh, listen. I got three children, Steve, Rebecca, and Leah. And five little grandkids, and I love them so much. I've often thought about it, Brother Gray, that if one of them died, I honestly, you know, God gives you grace for that, but just thinking about it, I don't know Brother Belford live. I just don't know. But I think about old Job, took 10 of them. You imagine going to church and there's 10 coffins lined up across here and you're sitting there with your wife and your arm around her at the funeral and he tries and he said, honey, it's going to be all right. And she jerks around from him and said, curse God and die. Brother, he's suffering, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Then here come them three friends. And they accused him falsely. Job said, "Your physicians of no value." "Physicians of no value." Miserable comforters, he called.
Amen.
Oh, he suffered. Oh, Joseph suffered, didn't he? At the hands of his own brothers.
Yes.
Joseph suffered. Put him in a pit, and put him in a pit. Sold him as a slave. Got down there to Potiphar's house, and Potiphar liked old Joseph, and Potiphar's wife was mean as a devil. And she lied on Joseph and told awful lies on him. And now he sits in prison for something he ain't even done. I mean, what suffering. And don't you think because somebody suffers and somebody has things happen to them that they're into something they shouldn't be in. Oh, listen, brother Bell, listen, some of the greatest preachers I've ever met in my life are men that just seem like they're just born to suffer. I remember having, when I first come to Trinity Baptist Church, I remember old Jack Hudson come preach for me. Dr. Jack Hudson had the blackest hair I've ever seen in my life. And Brother Gray was real wavy, black hair, and he had on a white coat, a white sport coat, and black pants. And I remember him coming to preach for me, and he sort of walked like this because he had arthritis so bad. And I remember he walked up to the pulpit like this and stood, and as he began to preach, he cried all the way through his message. Just wept. He had so much compassion. Boy, God's power was on that man. But every day, he was about to die with arthritis. He suffered. I think about Harold Seitler's, Dr. Seitler's little girl was killed by a drunk driver. And Dr. Howell, all he went through. Brother Roloff put in jail. And on and on and on and on. You can go with people suffering. People suffer. I got people in my church. They're some of the best members I got. People just seem like they suffer. And have had so many things. And you know, Hezekiah suffered. And Joseph suffered. And Job suffered. Then silly decisions will knock you down.
Yeah.
Silly decisions. You know, life's made up of decisions.
Yeah.
What you decide to do. Boy, I'm going to tell you, you better think before you do some stuff.
Yeah.
I'm telling you. Hey,
yeah.
Listen, think about old Samson's decision to go down and date a woman he shouldn't have been with.
Amen. Yeah.
Yeah.
Run him. Run him. And you know what his dad said? Samson, ain't they a girl among our people? Ain't they a woman among our people here you could have? Oh, he said, she pleaseth me well, get her for me.
Yeah.
Brother, let me tell you, I'd rather want something I didn't have and have something I didn't want, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he had something there, didn't he?
Yeah.
And it was his wreck. It ruined him.
Yeah.
And do you know something? There's a whole lot. Looked at the well-watered plains of Sodom and Gomorrah and said, well, we could really grow cattle down yonder. We'd grow a lot of wheat down there. And boy, I'm telling you, that's a good-looking place down there. And he didn't even go to the friend of God and asked him what he thought about it. He didn't really say, Abraham, now what do you really think if we... Abraham done rescued him once.
Right. Yeah.
And you know what? He wouldn't listen to nothing. You know, if you're going to be dumb, you got to be tough. You know, if you're going to be stupid, you better be tough. Because I'm going to tell you, friend, it's going to take its toll on you.
Yeah, right.
If you won't listen to nothing, I'm going to tell you right now, it's going to come back to bite you.
Yeah.
And Lot wouldn't listen. And because of it, he lost his wife, lost his marriage, lost all them possessions. And hey, he was rich. He was rich. He didn't have to go down there.
Yeah.
He was rich. But you know what he did? He let his eye guide him instead of God.
Right.
See? And then old Naomi and Elimelech and Mahlon and Chilion left and went 10 years down into Moab and left the place of bread, the house of Bethlehem, Judah.
Right.
And they made a decision to go down there.
Right.
And when she come dragging back by herself with one daughter-in-law, they said, is that Naomi? She said, don't call me Naomi, call me Mara.
Amen.
The Lord sent me out full, brought me back empty.
Yeah.
She
right.
thought she was empty when she left.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. You leave a place like this right here, and you say, well, it ain't this and it ain't that. Let me tell you what it is. You're full here.
Yeah.
Hey, you get out where it is, neighbor. Hey, where it really is empty. Then you can find out what empty is.
Yeah.
You leave the will of God, you'll find out what empty
Amen.
Is.
Amen.
Silly decisions. Then let me say this right here. Separation, divorce can knock you down.
Amen.
I got a man in my church right now, Brother Bell, a good man, a good boy. Sits right back over here in this corner. He's such a good man. A good man. A hard-working man. Got two little old girls. One of them sings in our youth choir. Well, both of them do. Little old girls. Sweet. And his wife just come in one day and told her she'd met some other fella. And she told him, said, I love this man. And the only reason I've stayed here with you as long as I have, said, is our girls. And Brother David said, Brother Gray said, preacher, when I put them in the bed at night, they said, the littlest one cries for her mother. Oh, let me tell you something. And I watch that good man sit over there a lot of Sundays. I'll be preaching. I watch him just sit over there and weep and cry. You know what? It'll knock you down.
Yeah.
Listen, separation, divorce, it'll knock you down. And then, you know what? Standing for right, sometimes you get knocked down.
Yeah.
Huh? Old John the Baptist said, Herod, it's not lawful for you to have your brother Philip's wife. People said, well, I'll tell you, God will protect you. Well, listen. That time didn't work, did it?
Yeah.
God said, I'm bringing him on in here. Cut his head off. Got a new one when he got to heaven.
Yeah.
But the one he had, he lost here.
Yeah.
Said, what for? Standing for right.
Amen.
Don't you think the world's going to love you
yeah.
if you stand for right?
Amen.
They ain't going to love you. They'll think you're crazy.
Yeah.
It's like he said, well, go to people, we've heard you as a cult down there. Hey, they've said that about us.
Okay.
They've said that about, they said about you too, Brother Bell. You might not have heard, but they've said it. Yeah, they're a bunch of cult down there, a bunch of crazy outfit down there. Yeah. Let me tell you something. Just standing for right. Then let me say Satan can knock you down. Well, let me tell you something. Let me tell you. You look, I ain't giving him no glory, but I'm going to tell you something. We underestimate him.
Yeah, we do.
Right. Buddy, let me tell you something. Hey, all this stuff of people saying, I'll tell you, they say, Brother Yoder, if I could just get a hold of the devil, if I could just get a hold of the devil. Let me tell you something. You don't want a hold of him.
Yeah, right.
You don't want him. Well, he said, greater is he that's in you than he's in the world. That's absolutely right. Most people ain't close enough to God to go fighting the devil.
Yeah.
You say, well, I tell you, I think I could. Listen, ask Job.
Yeah.
When God cuts the devil loose on you, what happens?
I
hope he goes on down the road to the next church. I hope he don't stop at mine. I'm going to tell you right now, I ain't spiritual enough to handle him. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't want no part of him. Let him just pass on by us.
Amen?
But he can knock you down.
Right.
Now let me give you something here. Hey, I'm going to give you the message. That's the cause of why people get knocked down. And let me say this. You can get back up.
Amen.
You can get back up. Let me tell you something. First of all, here's the sermon. Number one, you can get back up if you're surrounded by the saints.
Amen.
Look what it says in verse 20. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him. See that?
Yeah.
He surrounded himself with the saints.
Amen.
Preacher, that's how he got back up.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what it is? You can get back up if you stay in here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, you stay in here, you can get back up. You know why? There'll be people to help you up.
Amen. Amen.
See what I'm saying? Brother, hey, you get in a fight to the devil and he knocks you to your knees. Let me tell you though, there's hundreds around here to say, hey, brother, we're for you.
Yeah.
Come on, man. You can get back up. Come on, buddy. And Brother Bell stand up here saying, you can get back up. And a Sunday school teacher saying, you can get back up. And that good choir goes to singing. And those trios and quartets and ensembles and soloists get up here singing songs. And you know what them songs are saying? You can get back up.
Amen.
You can get back up.
Amen.
And you know what? Old Paul got back up and looked around a little bit and he said, man, I ain't been hit like that for a while.
Yeah.
He said, boys, thank you for standing around here. They said, boy, we was worried about you. He said, we thought you was a goner. He said, I did too. But he said, well, we got some work to do here.
Amen.
And you know what? Listen, he went back into that city. How would you like to stone a man like that and give him a beating? And just beating, pound him to death. And he gets back up. You know, no wonder he could say, none of these things move me.
Yeah.
None of these things. You can hit me with baseball bats, bless God, rocks. Anything you want to, it won't move me.
Amen.
I'm coming back into town.
Amen.
And I'm coming back with my pockets full of gospel tracts.
Yeah.
And I'm coming back in witnessing.
Amen.
And I'm coming back in preaching.
Amen.
I'm coming back in standing for the same truth
Amen.
I stood for when I left.
Amen.
Oh, you can beat me up. Run if you want to. Run if you will. Maybe we'll roll off you sing it. Hey, but listen, I come here to stay. Hey, just get back up. You can get back up if you're surrounded by the saints.
Yes.
Stay in church. Stay in church.
Amen.
It's the key.
Amen.
Stay in church.
Amen.
Then, so surrounded by the saints, you get back up if you're serious about service.
Right.
You know what I believe? Paul was serious.
Amen.
Look at verse 20. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city. Now, buddy, that's serious right there. And the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached, he was serious about preaching, wasn't he? You know, most of us would have said, well, you know, I don't hardly feel like it. You know, I got a headache. Paul said, let me go. I'm all right. Let me go. I'm okay. You know what he was? He was serious. You're looking about somebody serious about this thing. He ain't playing. Buddy, hey, listen. When a man will say that he cares so much for the souls of men that I'd be willing to be accursed from Christ, if Israel be saved. He's serious. Hey, you say, well, how you know he meant that? It's in the Word of God. That's how I know he meant it. It was real. You know what? He was serious about service. Wonder if we'd get serious about our bus route. Get serious about that old Sunday school class. Get serious. Hey, I mean buckle down, listen, and get serious about things. Say, look, buddy, this thing's serious. You know what? It amazes me how serious the world is about what they do and that we ain't serious. You know, they say that Peyton Manning plays quarterback for the Denver now. Do you know what they said that guy? They said, hey, they say sleep with a football. Hey, you know what he does from the time he gets up till he goes back? He watches films. When he ain't watching films about football and studying other teams' defense and watching, then he's on a practice field throwing footballs. He's watching. That's all he thinks about. You know what he's called? That's called serious. Hey, and by the way, there's fans that are serious Peyton Manning is.
Right.
I went to a West Virginia College bowl game one winter down there in Charlotte. And it's my home state, West Virginia. I thought, well, I'll go down and watch them play. They got the devil beat out of them, but I went down and watched them.
Yeah.
Hey, I mean, Brother Bell, they took a whooping. It was so bad that in the first half, I told my son, I said, son, I got a lot to do. And I said, you want to go on and go? He said, I'll stay and watch a little bit of the third quarter. If it don't turn around, we'll go. I said, it ain't going to turn around, but it might get a little better than it is. But they're whooped. And we're sitting there, and I turned around and looked behind me. There's this old man standing there with a West Virginia coat on. Had WV. Had a hat, WV, blue. Gloves on the back, something said WV. He had one of them pads that goes in the seat, said WV. He had a coffee cup, said WVU on it. I mean, he looked like the poster child for him. Buddy, I mean, he, hey, and his wife is standing beside him, and everything she had on WV. I mean, her glasses had little WVs here, everything. WV, blue and gold. I turned around and looked at him. I said, y'all from West Virginia? He said, you better know we're from West Virginia. I said, I am too. He said, is that right? As if to say, I couldn't tell by looking at you. I said, well, I sort of knew you was from West Virginia. This is what he said. He said, in 25 years, I have not missed a game at home or abroad.
Wow.
And you know what I did, Brother Bell? I said, put her there, buddy. He stuck his hand out and shook my hands. I said, I'd like to meet anybody that's dedicated to something that they believe in.
Right.
I said, I wished I had 1,000 church members like you. We'd win the world.
Amen.
If I had 200 people like you, I would change our county forever and the whole state of North Carolina.
Amen.
You know what? Hey, he said, I don't care if they're playing California. I'm going to be there. Think of the money that man was putting in tickets and airfare and motel rooms and meals. Thousands. Thousands upon thousands of dollars. Then setting. Look at all the quarters he set through. All the halftime shows. All the fighting traffic and walking into those stadiums. I wouldn't have done it if they'd have said, look, here's the tickets free, and here's the airfare tickets free, and here's all your meal tickets free, and your motels free. I wouldn't have done that. You know why? Hey, it's down in here. It is a dedication,
right,
love problem.
Amen.
Paul was serious about service.
Yes.
Amen.
Are you serious? You can get back up if you're serious.
Amen.
You can get back up if you stay surrounded by the saints. Hey, let me give you something else. You can get back up if you stay in God's will.
Right.
Hey, you know what it said in verse 22? Look at it here. Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
Hey, he said through much tribulation. He said, it ain't going to be easy.
Yeah.
He said, well, go. Hey, in the book of Acts, buddy, listen, you stood out there on the street corner and preached somewhere, you get killed for it.
Yeah.
Right.
Hey, we ought to thank God we live
Amen.
In America.
Amen.
You better thank God you
Amen.
Live where you
Amen.
Live.
Amen.
You know, today, now you may have some people jeer at you and fuss and complain, make fun of you and stuff. Down here in Columbus, if you're still on the street corner and preach somewhere. But really, you know what it is? There ain't nobody going to walk by at the 357 and shoot you out of down.
Yeah.
Hopefully. But y'all know what I mean. We got a lot of liberty.
Amen.
We got a lot of freedom to do. Hey, but listen right here. He said, this is the will of God. He stayed in the will of God. Hey, you can get back up if you're staying in the will of God.
Yeah.
But if you get out of the will of God, it's hard to get
Amen.
Back up.
Amen.
But if you'll stay in the will of God, the Bible said in Acts 21:14, and when he would not be persuaded, remember when he was going to preach and some of the disciples followed him down there and they begged him not to go? Remember that back to Jerusalem? It says, and when he would not be persuaded, we see saying the will of God be done.
Yeah.
Will the Lord be done. When he would not be persuaded. Hey, if somebody says, I'm going to do God's will.
Yeah.
I'm going to do God's will, like that boy he was talking about a while ago, he's called to preach. Hey, you know what? I guarantee you there's people right now. I know a missionary right now that had a job working, making big money, good money. And he walked in one day and told his boss. Matter of fact, he was working for Joe Gibbs' NASCAR team. And got saved and went in. And this old boy, he went in and talked to Joe Gibbs. He said, Brother Gibbs, Joe Gibbs, saved man. He said, I know God's called me to the mission field to start a church. And he said, I'm giving my notice. He was making good money. He said, you sure it's what God wants you to do? He said, I'm sure. Listen to this. Joe Gibbs said, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to pay you several months pay till you get your deputation up. And he said, I'm going to support you for $300 a month.
Wow.
Amen. He said, I respect you for doing what God wants you to do.
Amen.
Now, some people ain't that gracious and some ain't that way. They'll make fun of you. Some will say, oh, you mean you're crazy? You're quitting that job to go serve God? You're doing this to go? Hey, what's the will of God? What does it matter if it ain't what God wants?
Amen.
Hey, let me say this right here. If you stay in your suffering, you can get back up. If you don't quit in your suffering. Don't quit in your suffering. Verse 22. Continuing the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Continuing in the faith through much tribulation. They know it's going to be hard. And it's like he said about John Mark a while ago, turning back. Let me tell you something. You turn back, but you better look at what he was turned, what happened made him turn back. Nothing could turn Paul back. You can get back up. Listen, I'm done preaching. You can get back up if souls are a priority.
Amen.
If souls are a priority.
Yes, sir.
Soul winning is a priority, you can get back up.
Right. Yes, sir.
That's why when that bus route through the summer's down, and then you have this to happen and that to happen, and that's why you'll stay on it if souls are a priority.
Amen.
That's why you won't quit that Sunday school class. If souls are a priority.
Amen.
You'll get back up. Whatever's happening in you, you just keep getting back up. Hey, let me close this. I've probably used this illustration before, but I'm through preaching. This one will tell you. Just the other night, I was home and came in and turned the television set on ESPN, and it was showing classic fights on there. Boxing matches back in the old days. My favorite fighter of all time was Rocky Marciano. The Brockington Blockbuster. Old Marciano. Hey, he never did lose one. You said, well, you know he was the best. Let's go by the ring record. He never lost any. Never lost a fight. Never. Hey, 49 fights, 43 KOs. Pretty tough.
Man.
Six people went the distance with him. One of them was Ezra Charles, and he got knocked out later by it. So really only five people ever even went the distance. But I watched this fight the other night, and in the boxing match preacher I was watching, they said the referee is Rudy Goldstein directing the fight. Showed old Marciano and they're fighting with this guy and finally knocked him out in the end of it. I sat and watched however many rounds it went. He knocked him out in the later round. Rocky Marciano in 1969 in Iowa was flying over a little cornfield in a little private plane. Something happened. I don't know what went wrong, but that plane crashed in that cornfield. Marciano was killed. Plane crash. I remember when it happened. Remember when it came on radio. And they called Rudy Goldstein because he had refereed so many of Rocky's fights. And they said, Rudy said, wanted to call and tell you that Rocky Marciano was killed today in an airplane crash in Iowa. He said, I don't believe it. They said, well, it's true. He said, I don't believe it. He said he got killed, flew into a cornfield out there in the country in Iowa and crashed and killed him, Rudy. I'm telling you, he's dead. He said, I don't believe it. They said, well, Rudy said, well, I don't know what to say. He's dead. And Rudy Goldstein said this about Marciano. He said, I'll tell you what to do. Go to his body and start counting to 10. And he'll get up. Now, of course that wasn't true. He was dead. But you know what? It did happen one time. There's an old boy named Paul. And they said, hey, he's dead. He's dead. He's, look at the blood. Look, he's, look there. Look at him. Look at the blood running down the sidewalk there. He's dead. One of them said, start counting to 10. Brother Bob, they started counting. And old Paul rolled over and he got up on one knee. His knees was wobbling a little bit, but he stood up. And by the time they got to 9, he was standing on his feet. And he said, all right, boys. He says, time to roll back into town. Where's my New Testament? It must have fell out of my pocket when that first guy hit me at that rock. I remember that. Where's my Romans Road? Give me my track. Give me my pen and convert. Let's go. And wiping dried blood off old Paul, he got back up. Let me tell you something, this morning. You can get back up.
Amen.
Yeah. Surround yourself in the saints. Stay in your suffering. Stay in God's will. Souls are a priority. You can get back up. Let's bow our heads. I don't hardly know how to give an invitation other than what Brother Grace said a while ago. Are you still soul winning, or have you slacked up a little bit on this soul winning thing? Have you backed up? Have you even got tracks in your coat pocket or your shirt pocket or purse? You ain't tracks. You ever just, when you're down here at the store getting ready to check out of the store, you ever hand that girl at the cash register a track? You ever went on the parking lot and hand somebody a track? You ever witness? Did you used to do it? And you was plugged in here at Anchor Baptist Church? You was with it, and now sort of backing down on that thing a little bit. Let me ask you something today. Are you suffering? You've been knocked down? Lost your job? Problems? Difficulties, trials. As the musicians play, would you come right now? I'm not going to belabor this thing. Would you come? Let's pray. Is God having His way? Come on right now. Let's use this altar. Come on, Christians. Maybe you're not going through it, but you know a good friend that's knocked down. Would you come and pray for them? Pray for them.